Hello again. Good evening to you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you've had a blessed day today and praying for you, as we say often. Hope that God's richly blessed you over this past week already. And we're coming down to the wire. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be able to meet together again very soon. And I'm excited about that. If you would, please, we say this often, I say this often, would you please pray about that? And we'd love to get back into faithful fellowship, as we often say in our church, with one another. And so please pray about that. Again, pray for our church building, construction of that, getting all those preliminary things started and getting set and prepared for all that's to come really with that. And so pray about that if you will. You have a prayer request, again, let us know that. We would love to pray for you. And if you have anything you'd like to say or mention to us, we'd love to get with you. You need some here, and hopefully the next couple of weeks when all this passes over, we'd love to come to your house and visit with you. Whatever it is, whatever you need, that's what I'm getting at. We're praying for you. Hope you're doing very well. All right, well, we're going to jump into the message tonight, into the Word of God, and I pray you're ready for that. And so take your Bibles there if you will. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter and number 11, Deuteronomy 11. And so before we begin, obviously, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time here together this evening. And Father, we do thank you for this time. We're asking, God, that you do a great work here. We ask that you'd guide us and help us and lead us. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. As we minister to the people around us, we stand strong in our testimony and our witness. Through this very strange time, we pray, Lord, for your help. Father, help me tonight, especially, God. I pray that you'd empower me, lead me with your Spirit. As, Lord, I'd be able to clearly and concisely, Lord, relay and give the people what you've given to me, Lord. I pray for that, and I ask for your guidance and help, obviously. Be with those out there tonight, Lord, that are, Lord, going through a difficult season, that are dealing with some difficulties, Lord, and help them and guide them. As, Lord, we think about all that you're doing, we love and thank you, God. Bless our church now. Guide us in the days ahead. But Lord, lead me tonight. Thank you in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. Well, thank you. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. We began last week and I started a series I had entitled, What to Avoid. And we saw last week that we're to avoid certain things in our lives, in particular, what leads to spiritual failure. What leads to spiritual failure? We can avoid that. We can avoid the spiritual failure that often creeps in and takes over in the life of a believer. Now, tonight, I'd like to shift a little bit gears and continue with avoiding deception. As we think about, there's so much around us and in this world, and especially we saw last week, the world, the flesh, and the devil are trying in particular to deceive us, and deceive us in particular here by way of doctrine, by way of the Bible, by way of all of that that we studied last week. But how do we avoid deception in our lives and in the Christian walk? Now notice, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Now notice verse 16. He says, now take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now this is a precursor, or really a prophecy, you know, to what is going to take place in the life of the nation of Israel. They will eventually, very soon, they will digress, they will go away from God, they will no longer heed and listen to what God has given them to do. They've gone away from all of that, and they go into ultimately captivity. And so we see here that he says, do not be deceived. Do not allow your heart to be deceived, that you would think to turn aside and go after other gods that could, you believe, could help you, could guide you, could encourage you, could empower you, can provide what you need in life. You know, the biggest, one of the biggest detriments in a Christian's life is that they turn aside from God and they rely upon other aspects or areas or things or people in their life. They'll turn aside from God and they'll go after and rely upon finances. They'll go turn aside from God and they'll rely upon their own good abilities, their own talents, all those things that we could go through. And again, coming back to you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. How do we avoid deception? Now, the Bible is clear in its warnings against the dangers of deception. It is abundantly clear that we can be deceived and thereby get ourselves into serious trouble. Now, Moses warned the Israelites here in our passage of Deuteronomy chapter 11. He warned them. Paul in the New Testament expresses his concern for believers of his day. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13, he says, evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse. And then he says this, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and then being deceived themselves. It's a nasty and very hard and harsh, if I could say, cycle that they go through. They're deceiving and simultaneously they're being deceived themselves. Be cautious and careful of that, Paul warns Timothy. Now, the word translated deceive, it literally means to lead away from the truth and into error. Lead away from truth into error. There's always the danger of deception in our life. For the unsaved, the danger is losing all and going to hell. Men and women go to hell because they are deceived about the truth of God. I said this before, but I talked to a gentleman a while back, and he made that statement. I believe if we do what's right and live a righteous life, that at the end of it all, my good will outweigh my bad and I'll be accepted into paradise, basically. Now, that's false teaching. That's unbiblical. It's not right. And he, sadly, if he does not accept the Bible way of salvation, will find out that that's not the way. He's deceived. Many are deceived. Now, for believers, the danger is in wasting their lives and going to heaven empty-handed and ashamed before Christ. And we looked at that already. When believers are deceived, many unbelievers remain deceived. Let me say that again. When believers are deceived, many unbelievers remain deceived. You and I, as we said Sunday, ought to stand in the gap. We ought to stop the bleeding. We ought to make a difference in our world and in our culture and in our home and in our workplace. But if you are deceived as a child of God by way of doctrine and belief, the unbelieving are going to remain deceived. You're not reaching them, guiding them. I'm reminded of a story I heard recently. Excuse me. And their reporters were going around after the destruction of Nazi Germany right at the conclusion of World War II. And they began to ask the people, how could you as a people be so deceived and be so duped into this, if you will? How could you be a follower and a supporter of this regime, this horrific regime? And time after time after again, they got the same response, And it was that we were deceived. We were deceived into believing that he was going to do something great for our nation. He was going to lead us out of the poverty and all of the things that we were in out of coming out of World War I and all of that. We were deceived. We were deceived. A lot of people today are deceived. They know not the truth. Now, let's look at a few things here this evening, and I hope to be a help to you and an encouragement to you to get into your Bibles and know what you believe and why you believe it. Why? Number one, you can be deceived. First of all, again, let me come back to last week. We don't want to be a spiritual shipwreck. We don't want to fall into that spiritual failure. Number two, then I should say tonight, is that we need to avoid the deception. The deception's all around us. Number one, as we looked a little bit, began to look at last week, Satan is a master deceiver. Our enemy is a master manipulator. He's a deceiver. He is trying constantly in the life of a child of God to destroy us and get us off track and ultimately blow our testimony and then take us to heaven. He wants to take you out of the race. Now notice this. He is called the devil, okay? Revelation 12, verse 9, he, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, adversary, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice that. Revelation 12, verse 9, he deceiveth the whole world. His job right now is active work right now in the life of a believer, not an unbeliever. As we said, he's already got them in the bag. Okay? The believer is what? It's deception. If he can deceive us into thinking we're doing right for God, deceive us into thinking we're okay as sinners, we don't need to repent of that sin, we're okay staying in that illicit relationship and doing all those sinful things and not being right with God and not being faithful. Listen, he's got us. deceive us. Now, letter A, he's a liar and a father of lies. John 8, verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar, the father of lies. Okay? And so understanding that, he will lie, manipulate, and deceive you as a child of God. One of the biggest lies he tells to you as a saved person, that sin is okay. That's all right to remain there. That's okay. Everything will be okay. Everything will be all right. No, you're being lied to. You're being lied to. I'll be all right if I missed out on Bible time and Bible reading and study and prayer, and it's okay. No, he's lying to you. Now, he's lying to you. Letter B, he intends to corrupt our minds. He intends to corrupt our minds. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, because this is something you want to see here. Now, 2 Corinthians 11, Paul is writing, you know, to the church there at Corinth. It's a very confused church. It is a church that is in a lot of turmoil, division, all of it, the whole nine yards. Okay. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, but I fear, verse 3, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his what? Subtlety. So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that is in Christ. Now, as we saw that, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, the simplicity in Christ, the adversary wants to get you to think it's too simple. It's too simple. Again, I talked to another fella a while back. He said, in no uncertain terms, it's just too simple, the gospel plan of salvation. There must be something more to it. I have to work for it in some way, don't I? And I kindly and very sweetly tried to help him to see through the scripture, through the Bible, how that no, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Titus 3, 5, clearly explains to us that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. So, the simplicity in Christ. But he says, notice, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. The adversary is very subtle. Very subtle. He knows you as a child of God. He cannot just throw out and, you know, smack you upside the head with a sinful thing and you'll fall for it. No, he's very subtle. He is the master deceiver. Now, he intends to corrupt our mind. 1 Timothy 2:13, let me read this first. He says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression, deception. So number one, as he intends to corrupt our minds, sometimes he uses bold-faced lies, as with Eve. He'll blatantly, right up front, use a lie. Use a lie. You know that. Genesis chapter 3, we've already been through that. He questioned God's word and God's goodness. Yea, hath God said? She said, yeah, he said that. He knows in the day thereof, what? Your eyes will be open and you'll become as gods. You want to be a god, right, Eve? I mean, you know God's withholding stuff from you. You know that what he does today? Exact same thing. He deceives. He corrupts our minds. He questions God's word and God's goodness. That's why the natural man, according to 1 Corinthians 2, cannot receive the things of God. I've heard several times in my life, people that have read the Bible completely through from cover to cover, they're unsaved, obviously, and they make this statement, that book, I read it through, I studied it, and it's just a bunch of fairy tales and made-up stories and blah, 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 right? Why? The natural man cannot receive that which is spiritual. And so, he's seeking to deceive us. We must come to the Word of God, asking and being led of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us to exactly what He wants us to have. Why? Because the adversary questions the Bible constantly. Questions God's goodness to you. Letter B, he substituted his own lies. Genesis 3, verse 4 and 5. Ye shall not surely die, ye shall be as gods. He substituted his own lies. Notice that. Took God's truth, removed it, and substituted that truth with his own lie. Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. In the life of a believer, we need to be very cautious about that again. We think, oh, we'll be okay with this. We'll be fine. We'll get by with this. It's okay. No, that's a deception. Okay? So he intends to corrupt our minds. He's a liar and the father of it. Number two, not only does he use bold-faced lies, but Sometimes he uses the subtle imitations. Now let's turn over, if you're still in 2 Corinthians, let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. We're going through the Bible here this evening. Galatians chapter 1. And you know this because we've been through it. But you know what he says, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. Satan sometimes uses his subtle imitation, a false gospel, with false doctrines and a false church. All of that there we went through last week. But he gives a false gospel. He gives out false information. This is why we as a church warn people about joining other churches that are not doctrinally, biblically based churches. Because, why? They're being deceived. They're deceived. The adversary is a false gospel, a false church, a false doctrine. What's Jesus say? Jesus clearly says, many shall come to me, not just a few people. There's just a handful of people in the end. No, many, and they'll say what? Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name and do this in your name? And he'll say, no. Depart from me, I never knew you. False gospel. Let it be a false Christ. They're false ministers, false believers. There's a lot of falsehood out there. We got to be cautious about it. He uses subtle imitation. Subtle. Have you ever talked to somebody right down the line? Oh yeah, I believe that too. And then you get to the person of Jesus Christ and they go, oh no, I don't believe that. I was out one day and I was knocking on doors and I was inviting people to church and I was handing out gospel tracts, and sure enough, here came a car, pulled up, jumped out, five elderly men with suits on, and I knew exactly who they were. And they sure enough made a beeline for me. They saw me and they said, hey fellow, what you doing? And I kindly said, you know, I'm inviting people to our church and sharing the gospel. Oh really? Well, what are you sharing with them out of the Bible? And they were JWs. And I knew it, and they surrounded me and started trying to explain to me how that I have the wrong Bible and I preach the wrong Christ and all of this. So I made a beeline for Jesus Christ. And I said, well, I believe Jesus Christ is God, manifested in the flesh. Oh, they could have had a heart attack. They do not like that. And again, the number one thing Satan attacks is the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. So he uses lies, he uses subtle imitations. Thirdly, sometimes he uses entertainment. Entertainment. Now listen to this quote. Entertainment is a capsule used to swallow the medicine of deceptive doctrine. Sometimes the adversary will use entertainment, if you can get us entertained, to swallow some deceptive doctrine. Or we know, as we said, false doctrine. Very careful about that. And again, coming back to the prayer and goal of our church, as we've said before, the men of our church as well, we're praying for coming back to biblical foundation, biblical blueprint for a church. That's what we want. We want to come back to that. So much today is entertainment-based. Entertain the people, they'll stay. Entertain the people, they'll start coming to church. Entertain them. No, we're not interested in that. We're interested in what's biblical. So again, Satan's a master deceiver. Okay. Now, number two, let me say this. Some men are deceivers, meaning there are many people out there that are master deceivers. Jesus warned, he says, let no man deceive you. In particular, Matthew 24, let no man deceive you. Now, Ephesians 4, let's turn over there since we're already in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Notice this, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. Deceive. There are men that are trying to deceive us. They want to deceive. There are false teachers who delight to deceive. 2 Peter chapter 2, in particular, he speaks of those false teachers. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, as we said, deceiving and being deceived. Now, number one under this, that many shall follow their pernicious ways. Notice that, 2 Peter. Pernicious means highly injurious or destructive, literally meaning deadly, deadly. Many shall follow their deadly, destructive ways. Number two, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and they shall make merchandise of you. Peter lays it out very clearly. There are people that are seeking to deceive you, manipulating, as we think through it. Letter B, there are false apostles transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. As we read, 2 Corinthians 11, he continues there in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for what? Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay? Their end. Now, I've said this, but always find out what they believe. You're listening to a fella on TV or on the radio or something of that nature. Always find out what their doctrine is. What do they believe? Because they'll say a lot of good stuff, but you know they, at the heart of it, don't believe the same way we do, biblically. Okay, biblically. I was a while back listening to a fella on TV, and boy, he was preaching hard, real hard. And I liked the guy. I thought, man, this guy's, he's right on, spot on. Yes, amen. Sure enough, I went to his website, and under the tab, what we believe, I clicked on that, sure enough, way off. He was way off. And just unbiblical things. And so you've got to be careful. We have to be careful. Find out what they believe. Why? There are false apostles transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're out there. They're out. Coming back to, we do not have to be deceived. We do not have to be duped. Be duped. As I said earlier, with those poor people, a lot of them, a lot of innocent people there in Nazi Germany, they said, hey, we were deceived. We were deceived. You don't have to be. So there are false apostles, okay? Satan is a master deceiver. Thirdly, let me say this. We can then deceive ourselves. I know it's a shock to some of you, but we can deceive ourselves. There are many people and things that can deceive us. Now listen to these. Many things and many people that can deceive us. Notice Proverbs 20 in verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 31 verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's why Hollywood and all of that, the music industry, favor, popularity, beauty, they're all about that vanity. What? It's deceitful. At the end of their lives and their careers, they're going, I have nothing to show for this. I'm empty, I'm lonely, I'm depressed. It's deceitful. Obadiah 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Again, the one person you're deceiving when you're puffed up with pride in any area of your life, speaking to myself as well, is yourself. We think, oh, I'm deceiving them and I'll deceive that. No, you're not. You're deceiving self. Self. Matthew 13:22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. One sure way to become unfruitful in your Christian life is to have love of riches, money, things. It's deceitful. It's deceitful. Be very careful. Perhaps the greatest danger is self-deception. The Bible gives clear and several warnings against this self-deception. Letter A, we deceive ourselves when we say we have no sin. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're deceiving ourselves. The hindrance for the Christian today is that we say, I have no sin. I'll be okay. It's all right if I stay here. It's all right if I stay in this relationship. It's okay if I watch this and go here and be involved with this and don't do this. No, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Letter B, we deceive ourselves when we think too highly of ourselves. Now notice this in the scripture. Galatians 6:3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He deceiveth himself. We deceive ourselves. Think too highly of ourselves. The key of it, coming back to the foundation of it, humility, right? Submission to Christ, submission to God. Lord, what is it you want me to do? Not thinking of ourselves. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Are you thinking soberly today? Are you? We deceive ourselves. We say we have no sin. One, we think too highly of ourselves. Two, letter C, we deceive ourselves. We think we will not reap what we sow. We think we will not reap what we sow. You can't plant carrot seeds and expect cucumbers, right? You will reap what you sow. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Semicolon. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived, he says. Be careful. What you sow, you'll reap. Oh, and you folks know that to be true if you've lived any length of time on this earth and in the Christian faith. you reap what you sow. Are we sowing that which is righteous? Are we sowing and preparing to reap from the fruit, with the fruit of our labors for God, for Christ? Okay. Letter D, let me say, we deceive ourselves when we think we are religious, but do not bridle our tongues. Oh, that's interesting. Notice James 1, verse 26. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, that one's a tough one for all of us. I know me especially. We don't bridle the tongue. We don't control that. What does James call it? Boy, a world of iniquity. Why? We must be careful. We're deceiving ourselves. Letter E, we deceive ourselves when we hear the word, but don't do the word. James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own self. Jesus made reference of that as well, right? Man built his house on the sand, storm came, blew it down. Built on the rock, you know, again, took the word, received it, and applied it. Again, it's not difficult to do. It's not difficult to follow through with what the Bible tells us to do. Hear it, heed it, and do it. Let me say letter E. We deceive ourselves when we hear the word, but don't do it. Again, we deceive ourselves when we are religious, but bridle not the tongue. We reap what we sow. We think too highly of ourselves. We have no sin. Maybe one of those for you. I don't know. I hope that you take some inventory in that, as I have, and think about that. Am I being deceived? Am I deceiving myself? Okay. And then number four, let me say this. We avoid deception then by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Very clear. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Only the inspired Word of God can reveal and defeat the devil's lies. Now, you know that. Our only defense is the inspired Word of God. Jesus set the example in Matthew 4. Now, let's go to Matthew 4. I want you to notice this. Matthew chapter 4, again, the great temptation of Christ. And as he's going through this temptation, you know what's repeated. Matthew 4, right? Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay? He goes through. Notice verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 10. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, the very Word incarnate, says to the adversary, it is written. What a wonderful testimony and example for us today. It's written. It's written. You know what he's saying? You as a believer, as a child of God, you don't need any superpowers, if you will. You don't need anything extraordinary. You have all that you need in the written Word of God to defeat the enemy, our adversary, and his lies and his deception. Okay? We avoid deception by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now, letter A, we must yield to the Holy Spirit and study the Word of God. That's pretty obvious. Okay? Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, as we said on Sunday, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Rightly dividing. So number one, let's take a couple helps here. Hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hide God's word in your heart. Know the Bible. You know the lyrics to that song very easily. How come you don't know the Bible? You know backwards and forwards everything you're supposed to do at work. With your eyes closed, you could do it. How come you don't know the Bible? We got to know the Bible. We got to know the Scriptures. We got to be studying the Scriptures. Hide the Word of God to meditate on God's Word. You know that. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, verse 2. All verses we could quote this evening, but meditate upon the Word of God. Meditate. Use God's Word. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern, notice, both good and evil. We're to detect Satan's lies, we're to defeat Satan's attacks, and thirdly, we're to evaluate the world around us. Very key, very key. Psalm 119:128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Use the Word of God in your life. How do I avoid being deceived? It's all around me. You have a guidebook. You have a lighthouse. You have a measuring tape, all that you need right here. Letter B, let me say we must be vigilant and resist the devil. Vigilant, being aware of his attacks, being aware of those subtleties. 1 Peter 5:8, you know that. He's a roaring lion. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Do you catch that? Resist the devil. And it says he will flee. He'll leave you alone. Now, not for permanently, but he'll leave you alone. You resist, you draw nigh to God. You resist the devil and draw nigh to Christ. You draw nigh to him. And the promise there, he'll draw nigh to you. He'll draw nigh to you. God's waiting for you to make the first move. You're as close to God right now as you want to be. Old A.W. Tozer said, you're as close to God as you want to be. And so are we where we're supposed to be? Be vigilant and resist the devil. Letter C. Let me say here lastly, we must avoid false teachers. False teachers. And now coming back to this, he says Romans 16, he says there in verse 17, 16, 17. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceive the hearts of the simple. By good words and fair speeches. A fluffy, real, energetic message. But is there doctrine in there? Is there Bible in there? Is there verse building upon verse? Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. The book of Isaiah. You're building with verses. Is that what you're doing? Is that what they're doing? Many verses I have here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 through 5. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness from such, withdraw thyself. We've been through that verse before. But again, avoid false teachers. Titus 3, verse 9, he says, avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, right? And he goes on many other things. 2 John 1, 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess, notice, not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. A deceiver and an antichrist. Those individuals, those people, those cults that believe Jesus is not who he said he was in the Bible, they are antichrist. They are deceivers. You ought to avoid. Well, I think if we all just get along, if we all just love Jesus, no, never works that way, does it? What do they believe? I want to know what he believes. I want to know what she believes. There's many false teachers out there. Okay. Now coming back to this, there are many people that will try and throw you off track. Satan is a master deceiver. You can deceive yourself. Okay. And we must avoid false teachers using the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Okay. Beware of deception. Beware of deception. Now coming back to our text here, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 16, he says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. That sounds a lot like what Paul says in the New Testament to the church at Corinth. And he makes mention of that. He says, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. You and I had occasionally, on a very regular basis, we ought to take some inventory and a checkup on our spiritual health. Where are we? How are we doing? Where have we laxed off? Where can we get back on track? What are our strong points, really, spiritually? How can I implement some balance more into my life and the weaker points? All of that, he says, take heed to yourself. Think about it. Look into your life. That your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And worship them. You and I can be duped and deceived today. Are you avoiding deception in your Christian faith, in your walk with God? You can. You can be successful, as we said last week, and avoid spiritual failure. But now we need to avoid the deception that's all around us as the adversary is trying to get you out of the race. Out of the race. He hates that you are faithful to his word, to the Lord's word, God's word, excuse me. He hates that you're faithful in your prayer life. He hates that you're excited about church coming back together. He hates that you're standing strong in your marriage. He hates that you're faithful with your children and helping them grow spiritually. All of that. He's trying to deceive and destroy us. I'd encourage you tonight, stay faithful. Stay focused on the Lord. Now, avoid that spiritual destruction, that deception that's around. And I pray that at the end of your life, and end of mine, we would not be like those people there at the end of World War II that they said, we were deceived. How could you follow that? How could you support that? We were deceived. We were deceived. No, my friends, we have no excuse. We should not be deceived. We have all that we need right here in the Word of God. Amen? All right, I hope that was a help to you and an encouragement to you in this day and age of such duplicity and deception and destruction, ultimately, from those. I pray that you're staying faithful to the Lord and to His Word. Avoid deception. All right, we'll have a word of prayer, and Lord willing, we will see you back here on Sunday. All right, God bless you all. Let's end with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity this evening to share your word. I'm so thankful for those that have tuned in. I pray that you'd bless their lives. Help us, Lord, in this day of deception to not be deceived. We truly have no excuse. We have all that we need in your written word. We have all we need in the Holy Spirit's power and help and strength. Give us your strength, Lord, to walk the way we should. We love you, Lord, and thank you for another time to spend in your word. In Jesus' precious name we do pray, and amen.